Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's been a weird spring. Snow, temperatures in the 30s, then boomeranging to the 70s. The Farmer's Almanac is calling it the polar coaster spring. And that uncertainty doesn't just make it hard to figure out how many layers to wear. It can also affect how we think about what to eat. Today on the pod, we are diving back into our monthly series, What's in Season, where we talk recipes for seasonal eating. Plus, we get gardening tips if you want to try your hand at growing your own herbs and veggies. I sat down with Jordan Wimby, a.k.a. Melanin Martha, a chef and cultural historian, to learn more about what to keep in mind in this yo-yo weather. Here's Jordan.
You know, it's been absolutely bonkers outside. I've been eating everything from soups to salads to sandwiches to heavier dinners to lighter meals. Just really depends on the day. I think I'm taking a more intuitive approach this year.
Tell me more about that.
You know, usually we can, with the weather and the changes in weather and the seasons and seasonality, we can kind of predict what we're going to eat and where we're going to be. And this year is just totally different. And so I'm trying to take the approach where I take it day by day, week by week, and kind of shift my mindset from having to be so stuck in a certain season and just kind of letting whatever is happening outside inspire me to cook whatever I want inside. That makes sense.
Well, why don't you tell us about some of the roasted salads that I hear you're making?
Yeah, I've been really leaning into the end of the winter produce, leaning into kind of your heartier vegetables, your cabbages, your Brussels, your broccolis, the things, your cruciferous vegetables, if I should say. Mm-hmm. And so roasting those up, adding nuts and adding them on a bed of like nice bright lettuce that kind of introduces and incorporate springtime flavors as well. So kind of mixing both the winter and the spring is where I'm at right now. Mm. We've had snow, we've had 70 degree days, we've had sunshine, we've had rain.
Right.
So I'm just kind of playing off of the weather when it comes to cooking these days.
And the thing is, Jordan, I think it's going to be nearly 80 degrees some days next week. So what are we doing next week?
Insane.
Are we grilling?
Which is insane, right? Are we grilling? I mean, that's a great idea, right? Involve outside, go outside, grill some things. And even if you do still have your cabbages and your hearty leafy greens like your kales, I mean, you can still incorporate those into also the things that you're going to be, you know, putting on your grill or eating outside. It's okay to mix and match. We don't have to keep everything so separate, you know? And I think that's where I'm at right now is like really leaning into how can I incorporate all the different facets that are happening right now and really make it work for me.
You know, some people listening to us, Jordan, might feel like nothing is in season here in the Midwest right now. Is that true?
You know, yes and no. It's hard for us to kind of get started on seed starting and getting into the garden because nothing is predictable. You know, we look at extreme weather changes and that is a gardener's worst friend. You know, you kind of want to be able to predict what is happening. But I do think that there are some things that stay in season that we can really lean into, especially looking at our lettuces, our collard greens, our carrots, our broccolis, our turnips, our radishes. We can really kind of lean into the things that we know will be popping up a little bit more as we really kind of get settled into springtime and move into summer, but also things that are just really great and hearty in the garden overall throughout the year. We know that we're far past our blizzards, so that's a good thing.
That's true.
And frost won't last a long time is what I'm seeing. So even if we do have a snowfall and we do have some frost, it's nothing that should harm your seedlings too much because it's not going to last weeks on end.
Yeah.
And we had a snow and it kind of, you know, passed over within a couple of days, which is a great thing. So I'm kind of looking at things of like, how long is the frost? Is it really going to be detrimental to the growth of my vegetables and things of that nature?
Yeah. You're sounding very optimistic, which is great. Each year, you know, as we approach spring, what are the things you look forward to? Like, what is the first food that makes Jordan feel like, oh, spring is here?
Oh, that's such a good question. Honestly, I love city foraging. I love looking for things that I can just pick in my yard and just add to a salad or make a pesto with. And I have to say the top things are fiddlehead ferns and dandelion greens.
Ooh.
Those are the things that I love to just go in my backyard and like pick out the earth and go run upstairs to my kitchen and say, okay, great. We're going to have sauteed fiddlehead ferns today, or I'm going to make a dandelion green pesto. Like those are the things that I'm like, here we are.
When do we usually see those things popping up in this region?
In this region, usually we'll see fiddleheads popping up in mid-spring, usually dandelion greens also in mid-spring. It has been a little finicky this year. We also love ramps, you know, and we haven't seen really ramps popping up yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really make that prediction.
So for people listening who are gardening, so we're clear, what cool weather crops seeds can actually go in the ground right now?
Any of your root vegetable seeds.
Okay.
We have to remember that root vegetables, the root is the main star of the show. So we want to sow those seeds directly into the ground. And those really do well in spring.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots, onion bulbs can go into the ground now. Turnips, radishes, rutabaga. These are some of the things that we should definitely be starting to plant now so that they have a really hardy life throughout the spring. And then we can start harvesting them in early summer.
Yeah, not everything can go directly in the ground, right? Some things need to be started from seed, like tomatoes and some flowers. How are your seedlings doing?
My seedlings are doing great. This year I'm doing some block seedlings instead of doing trays. So I have a mold and I mold soil into these blocks. And it's great because then I can just take my seedlings once they're ready to be transplanted into the garden and not have to worry about trays or disturbing the root. I can just take the block of soil and stick it right into the ground, which is amazing. So I've been doing that this year.
Okay.
And I don't have much experience with it. Usually I do trays, but I'm trying to do a little bit low waste this year. So I'm really excited about it. But my seedlings are doing great. Now, some of the things you do want to start indoors, just because they are temperamental to the weather. And especially now with the unpredictability of, is it going to snow? Is it going to rain?
Right.
Like, what's going to happen? You want to protect your seedlings because they're your young babies. They're very, very vulnerable to weather. Some of these other root crops, the ones that I mentioned earlier, they can really kind of withstand weather changes a little bit more. But like you said, the tomatoes that really, really thrive in warm weather, you want to start those indoors.
Okay.
There are some things that are harder to transplant because their roots get a little bit temperamental and a little finicky. So one of the things that I never start indoors is cucumbers. You know, every single time I've started cucumbers indoors and I've transplanted them outside, they've hated me and they've died. So So we're not going to do that. But there are certain things that you do want to start inside.
That's good to know. Any other tips for someone who's starting seeds for the very first time? What else should they keep in mind?
I would say lighting is really important. You want to simulate light. I'm an advocate for grow lights. They're not expensive. You can get them over at Home Depot, any hardware store. And just set aside a table or a place where you can really give your plants their own space to soak up all of that simulated sunlight, I should say.
Yeah.
And also you want to make sure that you're watering them on a daily basis. And I also am an advocate, Sasha, I'm not going to lie to you. I talk to my plants. So talk to them. They're alive. They want to be a part of the world just as much as we do. So I am a person who I talk to if they're not my vegetable plants, they're my house plants. And, you know, that also is just a great way to get connected with the things that you're growing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the first time I've heard that. And I think it's such a sweet thing to talk to your plants.
It sounds a little funny saying it out loud.
It does.
Let alone on the radio.
So it's not too late for the procrastinators to get started?
You know, honestly, this year, I'm going to say no. I don't think it is. I think the weather, as crazy as it is on its side for procrastinators.
Yeah. Well, eating seasonally, it starts with an awareness of when things grow and are ready to be harvested.
It really does. And another thing I try to tell people is don't forget to rely on your resources. One of the great ways to eat seasonally is to grab books, you know, look on Instagram or social media for, you know, gardeners in your region. Mm-hmm. I follow, you know, some different food banks in Chicago that are really leaning into seasonality. There's some co-ops popping up around the city. I know there's one opening up near me in Rogers Park called Wild Onion that's really focused on seasonality. There's the Dill Pickle in Logan. These are places that are really, really passionate about providing foods that are either one, indigenous to the to where we are, and also that want to lean into seasonality to support farmers and vendors around, you know, our locality, basically. Mm-hmm. There's lots of books too. You know, I love, there's a book by a man named Matthew Benson. It's called Growing Beautiful Food. And it's a gardener's guide to cultivating amazing vegetables and fruit in your own backyard.
Nice.
And it just has amazing tips on soil pH, watering, sunlight, where to position your plants, companion gardening. I mean, the list goes on. So there's so many resources. And I know I am not a professional when it comes to meteorology, you know, and gardening in this condition.
Right.
But there are so many resources that we can pick from to then apply to our current situations.
Well, you know, leave us with this, you know, community supported agriculture or CSAs, that's an option that people can consider as well, right? This is when you pay a farm up front, you pledge to support their season, and then in return, you get this box of produce every week, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
Tell us more
I'm actually going to put together a list for you guys to then share with your listeners, because there are so many amazing CSAs, not only just for vegetables, but also for meat and fish as well in the city that are absolutely amazing. There are farms around Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, our bordering states that are adamant about providing seasonal produce throughout the months that we do not have access to farmers markets.
Incredible. So we'll look forward to that list of farms and farmers that folks can check out, and we'll put it up on our website, wbez.org/reset. All right, we'll leave it there. That's Jordan Wimby, AKA Melon and Martha. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me again, Sasha. I look forward to chatting with you guys soon.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To hear more conversations about food, culture, and more, head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.